Welcome to the GTC podcast. Welcome to, I was going to say the working title, but no, welcome to the GTC podcast. Excuse me, because I will be a bit rusty. I only did like the first episode for a year, recorded the first episode for a year yesterday as the GTC podcast. So, you know, I weren't very good when I started, so now I'm a little bit rusty. This should be even more interesting. But yeah, we've got quite an interesting one today. So we've got two guests on, plus myself. So we've got Scambo and we've got Smallsy. They're both former Royal Marines, and we're going to chat about a topic that's not very controversial on the surface of it, but some people are a little bit funny about it, especially coming from the veteran space or serving. They can be a little bit, I don't know the word really, just a little bit ignorant of it maybe. And then they might sort of see it a little bit aggressively and stuff like that. And then also even in the public sphere when it comes to two-tone paint and police getting called out to kids with weapons rolling around. So you've probably got an idea of what we're going to start talking about. But it's about to delve into that. Before we get into the main topic, I just want you guys to introduce yourself. So we'll start off with Scambo. If you don't mind just giving us a quick rundown who you are and why you're here.
Yes, so I'm Scambo, former Royal Marines Commando, served at 40 Commando, Commando Logistics Regiment, CHF, which is Commando Helicopter Force, and then served at ASG, which is Viking, specialised as a VM. And yeah, had a good time whilst in the Corps, went to America, Africa, Middle East, didn't deploy Iraq or Afghan, just ops weren't happening at the time I was in, but yeah, and now I'm a police officer.
Nice, mate. Yeah, sorry about that. The police officer bit, that is. Someone's got to do it, eh? Cheers, dude. Smallsy.
Hello. So, my nickname's Smallsy. My real name's Stuart. I joined the Corps back in early 2006 and did just shy of 5 years. Did all my time down at 42 Commando in Lima Company. I was general duties Marine. So, just essentially, I was in a section pretty much the whole time. Deployed to Afghanistan the winter of 2008 to 2009. Quite a kinetic tour. A lot of air assaults, a lot of taking ground and little raids we did. Came back, did and passed the sniper selection. Then deployed to Iraq, which wasn't Telic at the time. It was op hell free, so it was only force protection down at the port. Did that for 4 months. Then came back. By the time I deployed to Iraq, I'd already had my chit in. So I was already in my last year at that point. So yeah, pretty chilled out for the last year, I'd say.
That's a pretty special way to spend the last year in the Corps, isn't it? Mine was being seen off in Scotland and yours was in fucking Iraq.
Yeah, half my last year out there, so I was quite lucky, really.
Yeah, profs and dips, isn't it, in some way. Awesome, lads. I mean, that'll be really good, actually, because we'll be able to, especially when we go on to the actual topic, we'll be able to draw on sort of like the combat side of it from that sort of experience and then the training cycle of it and how those different roles that you did, Scambo, in those different regiments, because some of them aren't, they're not normal fighting regiments. So it'll be a good sort of like see maybe an opinion of like coming from those sort of roles, how they would take it. And then obviously like the actual different theatres, if you like, that you were serving in, Smallsy, in terms of the kinetic environment in Afghanistan was completely different to Iraq, but also at different points anyway. You know, Afghan was one thing at the start and another thing at the end, and so was Iraq. So it'll be good to try and draw on those experiences to actually really delve into maybe a little bit more in depth about what we're going to chat about. So if you haven't already guessed, guys, we're going to chat about I don't know, would you call it a sport or a game?
I'd say a hobby.
I'd say a hobby, yeah.
I mean, like a sport normally has like a regular like governing body, whereas this doesn't. I mean, it has a like a retailers association, but I wouldn't, some people refer it to a sport, but me personally, I'd say it's a hobby more than anything.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, and it's airsoft, isn't it? You know, it is airsoft. Now, I obviously started looking into it and setting up the business. You see a lot of airsofters on Instagram, and we work with a few that do some product shots and stuff like that. And I'll be honest, every single one that we've spoken to that is an airsoft art, if you like, has been mega sound. No one's sort of tried to be bullshitting who they are, what they're about. Some are ex-mil, some are not, but everyone seemed mega chill and just sort of like, no, this, like, we're not pretending to be anything. This is what it is. It's not a real weapon. It's this, that, and the other. But what I wanted to do first, guys, is really sort of delve into what is airsoft. You know, we've said it's more of a hobby, but let's go to Small Z first. What would you describe it as? If someone said to you, you know, what is airsoft, what would you say it is?
I hate saying it, but I always usually tend to say, think paintball, but better and more realistic, because it gives you a bit more of an idea. So you just go to your normal, there's different layers to it. You got your normal skirmish, which is low level. Just go there on a Saturday or a Sunday, play a couple of games, you're done for the day. You got your mil, go on 2 or 3 days, sometimes more, a lot more realistic. It is basically like being really, probably touch more on that a bit later on. But yeah, it's just, I start with skirmish, but you just rock up to a day, you've got your kit, you'll have a couple of games a day, you meet up with your mates, and just basically have a laugh and shoot each other. A lot of people have their own little interpretations of what they want from airsoft for a day, but for me, and most of my mates, we just go there, have a laugh, and just shoot each other. And just an awesome doing it.
That's not a bad way to put it, really. And what about you, Scambo, if someone said, you know, what is airsoft?
Like Smalls said, you know, it broke it down into different levels. There's different variations of airsoft as a whole. There's like speed soft, which is like what you'd find, which is like the paint, the air equivalent of paintball, where it's like, you know, these big balloon barricades running and gunning, trying to get, you know, wipe out the opposing team as quickly as possible. Then you've got your skirmish, which is like your mini objective based games, which are normally found in like a woodland site. And then you've got your milsims, which is basically run like a military operation, quote unquote, or like an exercise that we would find with like a command structure, taskings, and yeah. So like I say, there's a broad spectrum. I mean, generally, me and Smalls would probably hit up more skirmishes than anything, because milsims can be quite expensive to attend. Yeah, like you know, you rock up to your local site, you pay 15-20 quid, and then you go out and you do the games. And, you know, as a whole, you know, to do airsoft, you know, it's not an expensive hobby, but it can be quite expensive. And we can delve into that later on in the car.
Yeah, we come into stuff like that. Awesome. And we sort of, so it is essentially, I think, what everyone thinks is, isn't it? You know, it's paintball with BB guns, you know, yeah. And I'm pretty sure everyone listening to the podcast can be like, yeah, I know sort of the basic idea of paintball. And you've mentioned pretty much, it's almost like we've practiced this, boys. You've led on to pretty much the next question, which was, you know, what are the different types of airsoft? Now, obviously, they're all done with, as you say, quote unquote, BB guns, aren't they? You know, they're BB guns or BB rifles, pistols, whatever you want to call them, and we'll go a little bit more about the equipment and stuff a bit further on, but they're all done with BB guns. But you've got air stuff, you've got milsim, and you've got the speed stuff side of it. Now you've sort of touched on the fact that of what each of them are, so I don't think we need to do that again. But from starting to get a little bit controversial, if you like, now I think the milsim part of it is the bit that a lot of crusty old veterans or current serving lads that maybe are probably a little bit too big for their boots personally anyway, that's the one that people have a bit of a problem with, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you find like the old sweats and that, they rest on their laurels a bit. And yeah, you know, you take your hats off to them, because when they were in, they were doing a lot of stuff, which was, you know, things that young lads could only aspire of doing now. But you can't, you know, use that to, you know, give yourself status. And so milsim, you know, I've come across, you know, the veterans that do milsim, you know, people that have never served, people that have been involved in the SF community doing it. And where it's a bit controversial is that it's run like a military exercise. So you've got your HQ, your command element, and you've got your sections, you've got your ICs, you've got your two ICs, and then you're given various taskings. You know, you'll have, you know, the HQ, you know, get the PAMs out and give you a notice set of orders, and then you'll be there in like the ops room or the briefing room, and you'll be taking down notes and ready to complete those taskings. I think what it is, and it's like with anything, some people can take themselves too seriously, and that's where people that have actually done stuff or actually served can be rubbed up the wrong way. Because if I, you know, rock up to a milsim, and I've got some civvy that spent X amount on their kit, giving it the big I am, telling me, because I haven't spent that much money on my kit per se, that I don't know what I'm fucking doing. Well, listen, mate, fucking wind your neck in, because I've had some fucking artist training, and I do know what the fuck I'm doing. I do know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Would you, do you find that a lot? Is that sort of like the, is that the minority that crops up, or?
Absolutely. So in, you know, you find them within any hobby, any sport, you know, the people I'll refer to them as like full kit wankers, you know. No, you find them in football, rugby, you know, they're all the gear, no idea. And, you know, it is a minority, and the Milsim community is so small, but for the most part, everyone's mega sound. But you do get those characters that do take themselves too seriously because they feel like they've got something to prove, but there's nothing to prove because we're all here, we're paying our money, we're all here for the same thing. We want to get some enjoyment out of it, and we don't need people chopping off.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You know, it is kind of a weird one, and I've never been to an event. It's kind of one of those things that it's kind of like paintball. You know, if I was invited along, or it was a stag do or something, I would go and I'd probably enjoy it. Would I start investing in it and go tomorrow? Probably not. It wouldn't be something that I would openly go and try straight away, but it's definitely one of those things I'd probably enjoy. So you mentioned Scambo there about sort of how there's people that are civvies that might go around giving it the Barry McGuigan. So in terms of like tactics and stuff, so Smallsy, maybe you can sort of crop up on this, especially from a guy that's actually been outside the wire, if you like. How realistic is Milsim? Obviously it's military simulation, isn't it? How realistic is it?
Well, there was a company that used to be around called Tier One, and they used to, you got the main companies you really get in Milsim. You got Sterling, which is still running. Yeah, Tier One, that isn't running anymore. But I'm going to stick with like Tier One for now because they're at a different level we used to run. But we used to run at, sometimes we will use MOD sites. So you've got your Seni Bridge, Stanta, Copil Down. But we used to run quite a lot of games at Stanta. So Afghan compounds, layouts, that kind of thing. You'd have your main teams, you'd have your coalition force, which the main Milsimmers would like to go on because they get to wear all the Gucci kit, do all that, you know, look good and do the role. And then you get the ones that will play, such as the Taliban. You wouldn't always call them the Taliban, but generic insurgent force. So they're all dressed up exactly as you'd find out there. They're using, so they try and use the same sort of kits, AKs, and a lot of their tasking would be planting IEDs out. And the coalition team would be given things like metal detectors, and they will be taught how to use them, procedures. Obviously, I know there's a lot of stuff out there they're not allowed to know because of OPSEC and all that kind of thing. Yep. But they'll learn a little bit of it. You'd be put into sections. So it's quite realistic in terms of you get your sections, you get your IC, your 2IC, your medic. You'll have whatever medic rules they'll have in place. And you basically go out in your sections, you'll do your taskings. You might have groups that go out as a recce force. So we used to run games from starting Friday night all the way through to Sunday morning. So usually to Friday night, like you would in for real life, you wouldn't just go waltzing into a village. You'd send your recce teams in first. And they'll be sneaky beaky. They'll report back using, they always get issued radios. So they'll come back and start talking about what they can see, entry points in the buildings, where they reckon high value targets will be. Because more often than not, in the insurgent team, you would have people that are specified as high value. Usually pre-game, so you might have pictures of them already. So the coalition force will have pictures of them. And then usually go in force. We used to have the call to prayer playing quite a lot, and the insurgents would be told to act the part. So they might even do like the praying at certain times of day, acting like villagers, trying to sell you stuff. So quite realistic and immersive in that aspect. And even one game, we actually had a company who role play with all that. So they actually set up a proper marketplace. So when you're walking through it, it does kind of actually feel like you're back there again.
That's pretty gnarly. So what about, so obviously, I guess, depending on the company and depending on whether it's a skirmish or a milsim and sort of how much that event costs, it is probably the more it costs. The more it costs, the more real it's going to be in it. I guess, you know, if you're paying 20, 30 quid for an afternoon or like a, you know, for a couple of games, you're not going to get that full immersive experience. And if you're paying a few hundred quid for a weekend, I can imagine, you know, they'll have all the snatch Land Rovers out and they can, you know, you'd be on Copehill Down and stuff like that. So I think that's sort of self-explanatory, but would you say it's majority civvies that take part, or is it majority veterans or serving guys, or is it even? What do you reckon?
It's majority civvies, I'd say.
Yeah?
Yeah. Looking at it, a good, I was going to put a percentage on it, 60, 65% civvies.
And then tactically, how does that play out? Obviously, you've both played games with these civvies, essentially, in the milsim world, and you've said they're like, the structure sounds pretty much like a sort of a decent exercise, you know, one where you're, you know, semi non-tac, you know, you don't have to fob out in a harbour, you don't have to jump on fucking sentry every 4 hours, you know, you can get your head down in a hard standing and like get some good scran on, but then you can still do the role, so it's sort of like you get to do some of it. But what's the actual, like, tactics like? Are they very much like stuff that we would have done on exercise?
Yeah, they would be. Like, you get a lot of milsimmers, they do tend to brush up on tactics quite a lot. Some will even practice at home, or a lot of them, milsimmers in general, like to form teams of their own. But as a team, they might just go down to a site on a Saturday or Sunday and actually practice together. Like, formations, a lot of, it's mostly CQB they might do. So places like Stanley, you will see them stacking up, grenading doors, kicking doors in, if you know they're around. And then some milsims will provide very thin plywood doors that you can blow in using certain pyrotechnics. So it's very, quite realistic in that sense.
That is pretty sick. And how does that sort of, excuse me, especially if you go to a skirmish event, like when you two go down to a skirmish event, whether you're on your own or together, do you sort of, if obviously it's a milsim team, I'm guessing they'll rock up together. But do you just sort of like jump in and try and get a grip of whatever team you've been put in? Because I remember going to play on stag do's, going to play paintball, and you try and hide at the back, and then people say, you know, the instructor or whoever's showing you how to point and pull the trigger for that 20 meters that it's mildly accurate on the paintball guns. And they're like, you know, has anyone got any military experience? And I'm hiding at the back going, no, not saying a thing. And then one of my mates go, yeah, you know, you're in the Marines at the moment or whatever. And I'll say, yeah, I am. They go, sweet, you can be IC then. And I'm like, no, I'm here to run around in the woods. Do you put yourself in those positions? Do you find that that naturally comes to you? Do you find that you want to do that to get a grip of them?
For me, if I'm personally asked if I want to take like a section out, I don't mind. But I'd rather kind of just slot myself in, advise where necessary with things. But I prefer just to sort of intersection and to get on with it personally. I don't charge, but I'd like to them to do it.
Yeah,
so I attended a milsim last August with Sterling Airsoft, and you know, based, you know, I was part of a little team at the time, and you know, just based on my military experience, I was too IC of that. But if I rock up to a skirmish day, to be fair, like, me and Smallsy will probably go to our regular site, and they know us there anyway, and they know, you know, where, what backgrounds we're from, and they just tend to leave us alone and just let us get on with our own thing, because more frequently than not, when me and Smallsy go to a game, we just end up ditching the team and just cracking our own routine. I mean, we'll still play within, like, the remits of the rules, but we'll just go off as our little pair.
Box, don't worry a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll go off as our little pair and just crack on, really. As opposed to like getting a grip to the team and that, because most of them, most people that go, they don't tend to just go on their own. They'll go into like twos or threes and that, and they'll just get a grip of each other. And as long as they're playing the objective, then we just let them crack on as well, because they want to have a good time as much as we do.
Yeah, that makes sense. And what do you say, sort of age range? Is it a massive age range? Is it a bunch of kids? Is it mainly adults? Or does that depend on the type of airsoft that's going on?
Common misconception, it's either like really fat people or kids. You know, it ranges. I mean, like, you can play from as young as, I'd say, 12 or 13. But I've seen people up into their, like, 60s doing it. But I'd say, on the whole, the average age range I've come across is probably between 20 and 40 years old.
Yeah, I guess, especially as it seems to be, from what I've seen online and stuff like that, it seems to be a bit more fast-paced than paintball, and it's a little bit more, you have to be a little bit more active than paintball, don't you? And you have to sort of graft that a little bit more. So it probably does attract a reasonable age of clientele, not Barry. Who's all he's done is ate 12 packet of crisps and like drink 14 pints all his life, you know. Okay, awesome. So again, let's start getting a little bit more controversial, if you like, as controversial as this gets. Essentially, it's a hobby that people enjoy, so we're not gonna kick the arse out of and pretend it's something it's not. But why do you think there is that sort of stigma about it? So within the, not so much the Marines, actually, to be fair. I think mainly because it wasn't that big when I was serving, and I think it's the past couple of years that it's got bigger. But I remember people back, even when I was serving, like people saying about paintball and stuff, like, you know, why would you want to do that? You know, why don't just join up? You know, and it's like, well, come on, mate. Like, I've played paintball. It's actually a good laugh. Why do you think people have that sort of negative stigma of airsoft?
Well, you know, because of the type of guns that are used, like in terms of like people will think they're like just BB guns, but they're not just BB guns. They're like a lot of them, especially like the more high end products, they're realistic imitation firearms. And that's what the police would categorize them as, a realistic imitation firearm, because it looks real, it feels real. And to the untrained eye, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. And it, for the most part, it functions like a real weapon would. So you insert your magazine, you pull the trigger and a projectile comes out. And with that, the kit that airsofters use is modelled after, you know, issued kit or real kit. You know, your plate carriers, you know, there's helmets. And with that comes uniforms and clothing. And some people aspire to look like an SF operator. Some people aspire to look like a contemporary soldier. And that's where I think the controversy comes in. Because when people start wearing like military uniforms and insignia, they might start portraying to be something that they're not. And that's where I think in the military community, that's where people take offence, because you probably know blokes, I know blokes, they've lost their lives, you know, in the Corps, and, you know, they might have lost their lives in training or in training exercises. You know, for example, you know, we all know about dead nods cops. You got, you know, lad didn't even make it through training and, you know, browned out. But then, so we know what it takes to earn the right to be called Marines, and the same with other regiments. You know, they earn that title. And when you see civvies, you know, picking up a set of flashes on eBay for £2.50 and a green lid for a tenner, it takes away that value.
Yeah, and I think that's the impression I get, is it's not that blokes and lasses, you know, have a problem with people wanting to run around in the woods shooting each other, because I think deep down, especially if you join the forces, you would enjoy airsoft. Like, I think looking at on the surface of it and the little bit I know about it, you know, especially if you're a kit pest like me, you're going to enjoy it, because you get to, you know, use all that Gucci kit, some that you might not have got issued. But yeah, I think the issue comes is when you see people rolling around and they're fully dressed up, or they're on Instagram, and you can see on there that there's a few things that aren't quite right in terms of their setup or the weapon system. And you're sort of like, that doesn't look right. But there's no reference to airsoft in their profile. There's no reference to them not being a tier one operator. You know, and you're like, this is, I'm thinking of one account in particular, in his American dude, I don't know his name, and I saw it a few months ago, and I've tried to look for it since. I tried to look for it so I could show you guys, but I couldn't find it again. So I don't know whether he's got a grip of himself or someone's like banged him out or something. But he could have been a British lad, could have been an American lad. And I was sort of looking at it going, there was a few things that just didn't add up. And it was sort of like, I think that's, as you were saying, is the thing that people have an issue with. It's people trying to pretend they're something that they're not, really.
Yeah. And, you know, like, with airsoft and that, you do get reenactors. And, mate, like, crack on. Like, in my opinion, crack on. Like, if you are classed as a reenactor, then, you know, it's like, you know, live role play. You're portraying to look like that. So, reenactors get the kit so accurate. Like, you know, there'll be, like, for example, I know of... like, say, for example, British Army reenactor, and they'll go through different generations of the British military and how their kits, how the kits evolved, and they'll get everything down to a T. Mm. But they've classed themselves as a reenactor. They're not affiliated with the British military. And for me, I ain't got a problem with that because, you know, yeah. You know, see, like, you know, at military festivals and stuff, you get all the reenactors out because, you know, lads aren't going to fucking, you know, work a weekend to fucking attend a military festival.
So nah, definitely not.
Do it instead.
Yeah, it's a good point. How about you, Smallsy? What do you reckon? Why do people... Why is that stigma surrounding it?
Yeah, I'll just say, like, pretty much the points you've covered, you do get... I think some people, like airsofters, are sometimes just ignorant of the meaning of what they're wearing sometimes. So sometimes they might pick various patches just because they look cool. I mean, I'm a patch one myself. I've got loads of them. But I won't wear things like wings and stuff like that because I haven't earned it. Whereas I'm aware of that, some people might just whack, oh, commando flash, I like that, stick that on. Oh, a pair of wings, I like that, I'll whack that one. Oh, look, Navy SEAL trident patch, stick that on there as well. You just think, okay. But I think it's just how some airsoft decided to portray themselves. Like Nick said, you've got reenactors. You got, I mean, at our local site, you've got various, you've got people that dress like Vietnam, like American Vietnam kit, you've got American paratroopers from World War II, all them running about, and they're just trying to get the kit spot on, and they just want to run around like that. Whereas, like myself and Nick, we've got uniforms from Navy SEALs, but we're not pretending we are. We just think the kit looks cool. We like, as you said, we're kit pests. We like it. We get a used kit we've never been issued or got to use. To plate carriers, helmets, which, well, you know, the Corps getting issued all the Gucci kit now. But, yeah. And also, like Nick said, like BB gun, like when you think BB guns, you just think some really cheap, horrible plastic things. Like Nick said, they're realistic. So you've got some guns, some rifles out there that are gas operated, and they work like real one, like real weapons. You've got all your working parts, stick your magazine in, you've got to cock it. Sometimes you've got forward assist, they'll jam. You have to do your actual drills to get rid of it. You have to clean the weapons sometimes because they get all this gunk inside them. So some people that, especially in the forces, might be ignorant of that. But even before we deployed to Afghan, we did a, as a company, we, one of our local airsoft sites in Plymouth, they took us down to one of the forts, gave us the air kit, and we got to practice CQB using that, and the lads loved it. So
yeah, and I think it is a difficult one, isn't it? I like, especially now I'm out, you know, maybe when I was like 1 or 2 year Marine, hot-headed, think like the world owed me a penny, I wanted to bang everyone out. Like back then, if someone said, you know, what do you reckon to airsoft? I would have probably said, yeah, they're all a bunch of screaming hats. I won't bother explaining the terminology there, but, you know, it's a derogative term. And, like, I probably would have been like that. And I can kind of see where people are coming from. But, you know, as I matured within the Corps and then outside, I'm very much in the mindset of, like, I'm not sure I would go out and start doing it tomorrow. It just doesn't really seem like my thing. I have no doubt that if I tried it and had a go, I would like it more than I would want to admit. And I would go and get my credit card out and probably spend way too much on kit. But
yeah.
I can see why people would like it. And I think the whole attitude of like they're mugging themselves off or whatever. I don't really know the phrase, but, you know, that whole sort of, oh, yeah, they're trying to pretend they're something they're not. There probably are people that are. But as you say, you know, where do you draw the line? If you're annoyed about someone putting on some camouflage and running around the woods, are you annoyed at that kid that wants to be an army who's 8 years old and, you know, has a camouflage day sack? Are you annoyed at, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger for commando because he pretended to be a commando, you know, a Green Beret or whatever? Like, you know, where do you draw that line?
And, you know, like the thing about airsoft as well is like it's escapism, you know, like we all, you know, work, you know, odd, you know, obviously, you know, you and I, PJ, you know, with your shift-based work, But, you know, most people do their 9-to-5s and that. And, you know, it's escapism. You know, it's getting away from that routine. And, you know, since I left the Corps, you know, it's very rare, you know, it's, I think on a couple of occasions I've handled real weapons. But apart from that, you know, I don't get to do it. I don't get to run around in the woods anymore. Mm. And, you know, it's rekindling those skills and drills that I learned and doing it on my own terms as opposed to some fucking sprog boss gobbing off about doing a fucking, you know, hasty ambush and laying in the fucking ditch for, you know, rounds.
Yeah, crack on in that OP and here's some cling film. It's yeah. Like, come on, mate.
And I've got 2 points. Like, myself and Nick have been playing together for like a while. Not, sounds a bit wrong saying that, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You lucky boys.
From, say, 8 years ago or so. They were teenagers when they were playing airsoft. Met us. They used to ask questions about the Corps. And a lot of them now are serving now in various regiments across the forces. So, you know, it's, you know, they've gone from playing airsoft, enjoying it, and thinking, actually, yeah, I want to do this for real. And they've gone off and done it. Another point is, you've got people that, like Nick said about escapism, you get some people come home, don't want to compare it to Call of Duty, but they'll whack Call of Duty on, play around doing all that. Or you've got some people that'll just go on the weekend and they'll just dress up and get to run around themselves. But also, it's like, we can slag these people off sometimes, but they're getting out there, enjoying their hobby, and actually getting a bit of fitness out of it, and actually socialising and having a laugh.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, if you compare it to, it comes down to what we're saying about drawing the line. You know, you could draw the line and say, well, you can't play COD because, you know, you were never in Vietnam. So how can you play Cold War? You know, it's the same sort of thing, isn't it? Yeah, awesome, guys. So you started touching on there about the weapon systems and stuff like that. What sort of, I don't want to go into too much detail, really, but what, are the weapon, like, are they all plastic? Are they all metal? You know, for someone very briefly, just looking outside in, are they mainly a plastic item, or that can you strip it down like a real weapon system?
So, Smallsy was saying about, you know, gas operated weapons. So, the gas operated airsoft guns, the gas loads into the magazine and it hits a valve, which then cycles the working parts when, like, you pull the trigger. So you know, they're normally full metal, or if it's based on a if it's based on, like, for example, Smalls is holding an MP7,
like MP7, isn't it? Yeah,
and that'll be made using the same materials as an MP7. So that's a polymer body, whereas I've got what's called an MWS, and that's based on an M4, and that is metal like an actual M4. You know, there's other guns, you know, depending on the brand and the price range, you know, the upper tier guns, you know, are full metal, and then the lower tier guns use lower quality materials, so they're cheaper in price.
And so Smallsy's there forgetting that we're doing a podcast, so he can't, like, he's playing around with it and going, oh, wait a minute, it's just audio, but we get to look at it, so it's fine. And guys, what we will do is they've both got loads of stuff on their Instagram as well. So if you want to see their setups, and I've got both of their Instagrams up on my laptop right now, and it does look Gucci as fuck. I know essentially they are just throwing BBs around, but like that scar of Smallsy's is absolutely ridiculous.
It's beautiful.
I just had that up then. That was the only reason I mentioned it. And then Scambo, you've got some sort of like AR variant, like an M sort of 14 sort of beast, didn't you?
Yeah, so that's it. Modeled after the HK416.
There you go, yeah. Which is very operator-esque. Which, again, is something that we would have never been able to get our hands on unless we got badged. So it's quite interesting. I've just scrolled down now and see seen a fight with both of you with some gopping SA-80s as well. What is that about? Got the iron sight and the Sousa out, boys. Wow, what a day.
Absolutely. And that's the thing as well, you know, like, and that's the beauty of it. So, like, airsoft guns, you know, you fucking name a fucking weapon system, and without a doubt, there is an airsoft gun based on that weapon system. And, you know, from a serving soldier's perspective, you know, you could pick up, you know, like, if you're fucking that much of an absolute pest, you could pick up a WE L85 and you could pretty much trick it out to look like the new L85A3, and you can fucking practice your fucking dry drills with it, and it'll function exactly the same as your issued weapon system. And, you know, coming from a military background and doing airsoft, you know, the skills and drills that I learned in the Corps, they're applied. And so when it comes to doing like mag changes or, you know, marksmanship principles, you know, it transitions over. And these airsoft guns, they don't like shoot like 5-10 meters. They can shoot up to 100 meters. And it does, you know, it does sting when you get hit. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, when you hear about people blatting about, you know, blatting each other in the woods, you know, it is quite full on. And you do hear them whiz past your head and you think, fuck, I've got to get my head down. Otherwise, yeah, I'm going to get smacked in the face.
Like, weak, straight in the tooth.
In the teeth. What a game. You play that for fun. So you've said about, like, practicing skills and drills and stuff, and by the look of them, and if they are fill metal, and they do fill metal where they're meant to be metal and polymer when they're meant to be polymer, all the magazines are like the same size. And as you say, like, you know, if you're cracking your dry drills, you know, dry drills save lives and all that, you know, what sort of possible training benefit is there? Like, I've seen some other stuff. I think do you guys watch MKR, the military kit reviews guy?
Yeah.
Smithy, he went down and he reviewed it, and he was saying about the possible training benefit. I'm pretty sure he's like some sort of PW or something, like platoon weapons guy, because he seems to do stuff like that. But he was saying about the training benefit. Now, you said about 100 meters, so obviously that might be a limitation, accuracy over distance and stuff like that, and then wind involving. But especially in a CQB environment, you know, is there a training benefit to doing a MILSIM based thing for like servicemen and women essentially?
Oh, absolutely. I would just say the ranges are just scaled down, you know, like, so obviously like a weapon system, you know, for example, SAE effective range, you know, 300 to 500 meters. Yeah.
Did you check that before you came on?
Stay positive, stay safe, mate. You know,
he's got a crib card down there, like, he's like, effective range is.
And, you know, for airsoft, you can just scale that down. But in a CQB environment where, you know, the effective range or, you know, your target acquisition is at such a distance, it's such a narrow distance that it doesn't really matter. Because, and the things that you learn, like, for example, doing CQB, if you were to do like a CQB workshop or whatever, because there are, like, you know, old sweats and that have started training companies up for civvies to learn these skills and drills. And you apply those principles, you know, stacking up, doing your room clearance, your dead checks and stuff.
Muzzle checks.
Yeah, you know, your muzzle checks, your muzzle clearance, you know, not fucking muzzling your oppo. It does come into play. You know, it's also like PID, for example. You know, at a skirmish, you might wear a blue and a red armband. And if you can't differentiate between the two, you end up fucking blue and blue in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously there's the whole cost value of it. So how much? So if you wanted to make a like the new A3, for example, so you wanted to have the, I guess, you know, LA1 A3 or whatever the hell they call it now. Like, if you wanted to make one of them, and you're going to use it for a CQB training environment, you know, so you want to kit out your section. They've already luckily got all of the kit. All you need is the weapon systems that can do it. How much-ish are you sort of talking to do that?
So,
do you reckon?
They already make an L85 A3 now. Well, a company does, or a couple companies do. So I'm just going to Google and I'll find out how much it costs.
You can't beat it. Bit of Google. What I'm trying to work out is obviously we've all used simunition, haven't we? And
yeah,
for people that don't know, I think I've spoke about the podcast before, but simunition is essentially paintball on steroids, you know.
Yeah.
And they say the effective range of simunition is something like 200 plus meters. Absolute bollocks, is it? It will hurt at 200 meters. Will it impact the target at 200 meters the way you want it to? Probably not. Maybe that's just my shooting. And it'll hurt if it hits you, definitely. But two or three rounds in, you've got stoppage. The stoppages on simunition is absolutely disgusting. And they used to say, like, I remember doing the drills, and it was like, yeah, but it's just good to practice your stoppage drills, isn't it? It's like, yeah, That's great. You know, great training benefit, that. You know, you're trying to run a scenario and you do three or four stoppage drills. But to do simunition is ridiculously expensive. The benefit is all you need to do is change the bolt in your weapon system, didn't you? All they do is change the bolt in your normal weapon system. Magazine's the same. Everything else is the same. And then you just need to scrub out the barrel with a bore snake because it's fucked afterwards. It's got little bits of paint in it. So it's expensive for the ammunition, mainly because they've got it, but it's cheap for the weapon system. So if the military was to go over to using more of a BB, they would, the BBs are relatively cheap. I know you can get better ones and worse ones, but is the weapon system cheap enough to make it worthwhile?
Probably. I mean, for example, I mean, so the Ares L85A3, you're looking at £440 for the base rifle. Now, that's quite expensive when you think about it, because, you know, if you, especially if you're using a like-for-like weapon system. But if you wanted to, say, like, for example, the Corps moving to C8s, you know, you could buy a base, like a cheap M4 platform airsoft rifle for about £100. And that will function near on exactly the same as the real one. Minus the working parts. So in terms of like a CQB environment where, you know, you might not be practicing your mag drills or your stoppage drills, but you're doing, you know, like your snap shooting and your target acquisition shooting, or you're doing force on force training, I reckon it's probably a lot more cost effective.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like something that should be being looked into if it's not. So for the simple fact that, especially as technology moves on and gets better, if an airsoft company pulled a contract to supply, maybe not instead of simunition, but as well as simunition, running different scenarios, because, you know, the range is probably the biggest downside. But simunition we only use for, like, CQB environments anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, right, it might have an effective range of 200 meters on the simunition, but you're never going to be shooting. Who's got a 200 meter open space in their house? No one. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's something that needs to be looked into. So that leads us nicely onto cost then, guys. You know, so you've said you can buy a sort of a C8 M4 platform for around £100. How much have... make sure your missus aren't going to listen to this. How much have you guys spent on your setups to date? Some mental maths going on now, isn't there?
So, mainly got my SCAR. That's probably about, as a base rifle, £450-£500. But it's one of the high-end, Tokyo Marui. So it's like the high-end companies. Then you got mags. You're looking at maybe £25 per mag. That's why you never want to lose them. Then you've got all your attachments. So you've got, like, you know, good thing about airsoft is it's what you want to spend on it. You can be as cheap as you want. I like to have attachments because I tend to use them quite a bit. So you want to get a good scope, either telescopic or red dot. Get a magnifier if you want it as well. You got your laser torches, that kind of thing. Got the pistol as well. That's about £150. And then again, £25 a mag. And then, really, uniforms, you can get them quite cheap. You can get a full set, I think, of, like, Imitation Cry for about
110 quid.
Yeah, about £100. Shirt, trousers, in the style of a Cry one. Probably not the same quality, but still, for airsoft, good enough. It's what you need, just for, like, playing one or 2 days a week. Always good pair of boots. The only things you never want to go cheap on are your footwear and your eye pro. iPro is a must, because sometimes you do get full whack to the glasses, and if it's cheap crap, you're losing an eye, basically. So, basically, if you want to start airsoft, boots, iPro, then spend whatever you want on anything else. Depends how you want to play and what you want.
Yeah, and so, Scambo, go on, get your checkbook out. How much, mate?
I'm not going to lie, mate, I've spent thousands. Straight up. But that's not the initial outlet. That's over the course of how many years I've been doing it. And, I've got pretty much anything for most scenarios. So if I'm in a nice CQB environment, I've got a smaller weapon system, got a smaller platform. If I'm in a, you know, like a woods where, you know, distances are a bit longer, I've got a longer weapon, and, you know, it will reach out further than like a shorter weapon system. And I've got stuff that work, you know, if I want to work at night, you know, I've got my own MVGs.
So. Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah, you know, we've got like comms, so we've got radios, and, you know, we've got PTTs, and then, you know, and that's the thing, you know, depending on how into the hobby you are, is how much you spend. You know, I know people that probably spend no more than 300 quid for everything, and they're having a great time. And then I know people that spend tens of thousands of pounds. People running Gen 3 dual tube night visions. They've got the guns tricked out to the max, you know, they've got full cry, or, you know, through dark, or Ferro concepts, or Haley strategic kit. You know, they've got all the, like, anything that would be issued to SF, which is commercially available, they've got it as well. And so, yeah, like, I've spent a few grand on kit over the years, you know, just because, you know, if I'm going to do a hobby that I know I enjoy, I want to get the most out of it. And if that means, you know, having an advantage over someone because I've spent that a little bit more, then that's something that I was prepared to do.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. It's really hard. Like, obviously, from an outsider's perspective, it's sort of like, it's kind of one of those things. You know, you can, like you were saying about the full kit wanker, you know, if you want to go and buy a cheap motocross bike for a couple of hundred quid on eBay and run it round a motocross track on a weekend, you can. Mm-hmm. If you want to go buy like the Supercross replica, all of the gubbins that you could buy that, you know, whoever the motocross guy at the moment is rides on a weekend, you know, you have a full on camper van to take you there. You've got custom carbon fiber helmet and all that stuff. You know, it is that kind of level, isn't it? If you want to spend a lot, you can. If you want to spend a little bit, you can. If someone rocks up and said to one of you guys, you know, right, I want to come and play airsoft with you, what would you say is our must? You know, you're not talking about a specific game. It's just sort of like, we want to come and give it a go. So I said, I want to do it. What do I need to buy?
I'd say get a decent set of iPro and a decent pair of footwear. So a decent pair of boots. And for the most part, you can hire out kit. So, for example, if it was your first day, I'd be like, listen, mate, you splash out in boots, splash out in iPro, and I'll lash you up. So I'll lash you up with a plate carrier, some mag, and then you can rent out a gun and some mags. So your initial outlet is just your iPro and boots. So not a lot. You know, people will go to their first airsoft games, you know, buying, you know, like a cheap gun just to see, you know, or renting a gun. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, they'll be full kit wankers. But for the most part, like Smalls says, boots and iPro, anything else, you know, you can fucking dress up as a fucking giant chicken for all I care. You know, your eyes are protected and you've got decent footwear, you're good to go.
So my silkies, flannel shirt, iPro, and I'll put a bit of Desi boots on and I'll be good to go, will I?
Absolutely. I mean, you're off you. At the end of it, you're going to be too happy.
Yeah, I might have to wear a cap as well.
There's an airsofter I see in America. He dresses up in shorts, or he wears again Darth Vader or Stormtrooper costume, runs about.
Incredible. What a legend. Awesome. So, got a couple more sort of like actual questions, and then I think we're sort of at the point where everyone's getting bored of my voice. So I've seen this thing on, I think it was on Facebook. You'll probably know it better than I will, but it's like the UK ARA police or something.
ARA police, yeah.
Yeah.
So ARA is the United Kingdom Airsoft Retailers Association.
Right. Okay. So help me out. Why? Because all of the popular stuff you see online, on the media, which I love, says, you know, all of these BB guns now have to be two-tone, you know, one, there can only be two different colours and it has to be one a bright colour or some shit like that, innit? So what is the gen, and why do you guys, and why does everyone crack just actual, weapon systems. What is that about? Like, how do you do that? What's the...
So, Yukara is a membership number, which is free. But in order to be issued your own number, you have to be recognised as an airsoft player. So no Tom, Dick and Harry can go into a shop and buy an airsoft gun that looks like a real gun. But for someone that's invested in the sport and played, I think it's like 3 or 4 times over the space of 2 months, they get issued this number and then they can go to a shop and buy a realistic imitation firearm as opposed to an imitation firearm. So yourself, PJ, if you want to go to an airsoft shop and be like, I want that one, they won't sell it to you unless it's been sprayed 50% or I think something like 49% in a bright colour. That way, if you are a lunatic that wants to take it out in the street, it will become, you know, you're less likely to get yourself in the shit. You'll probably still be arrested on suspicion of possession of a Section 5 imitation firearm, but you're not going to get fucking blatted out by the cops in the street. And that is a defence for airsofters, so we can go out and we can have realistic-looking weapons, realistic-looking kit. Because as a hobby, we don't have a governing body, so that's why that's been put in place. And I think the Yukara police are just fucking... just a bunch of fucking old sweats just having a bounce and just ripping people apart for, you know... idiots, you know, think they've got their hands on a fucking airsoft gun, maybe for a forum, and they've taken it out and have been fucking nicked with it because they've been, you know, waving it around, and people think, you know, to the untrained eye, it looks like a real gun.
Yeah.
So if, obviously, because I was chatting to a guy, essentially the way that why that question came up was like, I was thinking, right, should I buy one for product shots and stuff like that? And essentially what it came down to was like, I chat to enough people that they would like, mate, if you're going to use it for product shots, I know enough people that come up with broken ones or the working parts inside aren't what they wanted it to be, you know, or something like that. Or, you know, they're selling it because they're buying a new one. And it was like, you could probably get one of them. And if you're sensible with it, just buy that off someone and you'll be fine. Mm. So there's no regulation in terms of, so if I rocked up to Smallsy's house and gave him probably not 50 quid but the value of it for that mock MP7 and he sold it to me, is that kosher, is that, or?
Yeah, I mean it's really hard, like, you know, it's one of those like unwritten rules, like, and that's amongst airsofters, that you wouldn't sell an airsoft gun to someone that isn't an airsofter.
Yeah.
You know these haven't got, you know, they haven't got serial numbers, they can't be traced. But if you sold me a gun and I decided to take it out and rob a shop with it, and they'd be like, where'd you get hold of it? Well, I got through this bloke called PJ. And then, you know, you'll have the police knocking on your door, blaming, what the fuck are you doing? You know, you've not done your checks on this person. How, you know, why have you sold him this product?
Yeah, so it's almost like sort of like a honesty-based thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, makes sense. So last little bit then, guys, what would you say the ups and downs of airsoft are? So, like, you know, what are the good things that keep you doing it, and what are the things that you hope will improve in the future / you would change right now if you could? Let's go to Smallsy first.
Well, for me, I just like airsoft. I get to hang around with my mates on the weekend, have a laugh, still get to, I miss the core. I like to dress up still, wear my own stuff, run around the woods, keep fit as well still, and just shoot people. You know, basically not sound like a nutter. But no, it's just it's evolved. A lot of it now for me is more the social side of it. But I still like, as I say, I still like getting up and running about and looking cool, in essence, as much as I can.
I mean, you can't fault it. And what about the downside? What would you say is like, if you could change one thing about it right now, what would you say? What would you try and stop? The people.
Yeah.
The person you train with most, is that what you'd say?
Me and Nick sometimes say, we love airsoft, hate airsofters. We don't hate airsofters, but there's a lot of drama that happens in airsoft for very silly reasons. Like, you've copied me doing this. just honestly petty playground stuff, and you just see drama come up every year, and you just think, come on, don't, just stop it. I'd rather get rid of the drama and the politics of airsofts, because at the end of the day, we are all still essentially grown men dressing up, running around the woods. No one's better than anyone else. Just stop it.
Yeah, you're there for a good time, and you're all paying the same fee to go in and play that game. Like, yeah, it makes sense. Go on then, Scambo. What the things? Try and be a bit different, even if Smallsy sort of answered and stole all your answers.
I think the pros for airsoft, and this is more of a, I think a more of a subjective opinion. For me, it's, you know, you can make it what you want. So, you know, you can invest as little or as much as you want, and you can have a good time regardless. You know, you get in what you put out of it. That, and that's the best thing for me. And I like, you know, I like the fact that I can, you know, get realistic looking kit and realistic looking weapons, and, you know, make things almost as if I was still serving, you know, because when I was in, you know, the fucking RSMs would be like, stay past or stay safe, you don't need to buy your own kit. Whereas if I was still in now, especially with what's being issued, I probably know now that I can tailor my airsoft kit based on my real kit. And, you know, that cross, you know, almost like that cross platform, or I don't know how to word it, but, you know, you can make it like I was when I was still in.
Mutually beneficial sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, get some training benefits from it. Something like, you know, even if it's just like mag changes and muscle memory, that for me is a pro. And also, you know, getting to experience, you know, being in kit that I was never issued and that I never come across. And, you know, like, for example, my helmet setup, I've got, you know, like the, you know, the Oxcore style helmets. I've got, you know, I've got peltor, you know, for hearing protection. I've got, you know, peltors mounted on the arc rails. I've got a, you know, I've got a strobe on the top. I've got a counterweight. I've got an MVG mount, and I can put my MVG on there. And yeah, fucking that's mega. But things that, like I say, that I would change, probably, I'd say people's attitudes to the sport that have never done it, and, or, you know, and certain people's attitudes within the sport, you know, that put themselves on a pedestal based on, like, you know, what kit they've got, or, you know, I've been doing mail sims for 10 years, mate, you can't tell me what to do. You know, that sort of attitude. And like Smallsy said, the drama as well, you know, in essence, everyone's copying something. You know, there's nothing original in airsoft, because it's all based on something. You know, people fucking get their guns and they make it to look like a fucking pulse rifle from Alien. You know, that's still not original, because it's been copied of something. And when people think that they're the I Am and they're the first to do something, they're not, because they're basing it on something that they've already seen.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It's never the activity, it's always humans, isn't it? We just mess everything up. That's why we kind of nice things. Awesome. Well, cheers, guys. I think that's sort of pretty much, I mean, it's exhausted everything that I wanted to know, and I feel like I've got a much better understanding of what it is now, which I'm very grateful for. I think it's worth noting, obviously, only the audio will come out, the visual won't. But if the visual did come out, they would see three aging lads wearing baseball caps, a little bit of beard growth, and veteran-owned T-shirts, like Smallsy. As a camo short, I've got pesties on. You know, we're all repping various different veteran brands. So, yeah, I just thought that was worth pointing out. Awesome, guys. Thank you for coming on. What I'll do is I will quickly hand it over to Scambo. Just if you want to just plug your social media, guys, so people can go and have a little perv on your... well, you're looking it up. Shall I go to Smallsy first, shall I?
Yeah, go on.
Go on, well, Smallsy.
I'm good to go, I am.
I've written mine.
See, look, he's prepped. Go on, Scambo, because you got it now.
So, I've got two Instagram pages. I've got a personal one, which is just thoughts of me doing everyday shit, mostly my dog as well. And my airsoft one, which is what I think everyone would be more interested in, it's Scambo_1664. And that's Scambo with a K. So it's Sierra Kilo Alpha Mike Bravo Oscar _1664.
Perfect. Cheers, mate. And Smallsy?
Not that I'm copying Nick. My one is Smallsy. SY_1664.
But definitely not copying each other. As you said, there's nothing original in Airsoft. Well, I'll make sure I'll tag them in the Insta post, and I'll put them in the description of the podcast anyway. But thank you very much for coming on, guys. Appreciate you coming on for the first official guest podcast of the GTC podcast. So cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
Yeah, cheers for having us.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the GTC podcast. Remember, do something that makes you just a little bit better every single day. Don't forget to head over to our Instagram @GTC Podcast. Thanks again. Stay wavy.